بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 19th of June in the year 2021 الحمد لله we've completed the third month the 90th night now we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And I'm mentioning the reports in which he's mentioned with his illustrious predecessors. So the last report I'll mention again, in Ibn al-Najjar, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Ghurar fi Fada'il Umar, radiyallahu anhu, number 6. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhu are like the eyes of my head. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu is like the tongue in my mouth. And Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu is like the soul in my body. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was highlighting how beloved these four companions were to him. And he likened them to his own blessed body parts. He likened the two sheikhs to the eyes of his head. Priceless. He likened Uthman radiyallahu anhu to the tongue in his blessed mouth. And he likened his blessed son-in-law and cousin Ali radiyallahu anhu to the very soul within his body. So note the incredible status, but note again the order. He never changed the order, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You always mention Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, whichever narration you turn to. Indeed, this really should not come as a surprise, because these four majestic souls are mentioned in no other than the glorious Quran itself. But where? In Qurtubi, and Ta'labi in their respective tafsirs. Shaykh Ulam Rasul Sa'idi, who passed away 2016, 5 years ago, in his 10-volume tafsir, Tibyan al-Quran, and Shaykh Sayyid Muhammad Madini Ashrafi Jilani in his tafsir Ashrafi, Sayyidina Ubay ibn Qa'ab, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clarify to me upon Surah Al-Asr. So the very famous Surah Al-Asr. He goes, can you explain this surah to me, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Asr is the end of the day. So when Allah Ta'ala swears the oath of Al-Asr, it means the end of the day, just before Maghrib. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. The insan, the man who is in loss, is Abu Jahl. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا The one who believes is Abu Bakr. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ The one who does righteous, pure deeds is Umar. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ The one who encourages to the truth is Uthman. And وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ The one who encourages to patience is Ali radiyallahu. Subhanallah. So look how strange. Where are these four majestic men mentioned? And a lot of people know this surah. It's one of the shortest surahs of the Quran. Well, us, they mentioned there. So a person goes, brother, I'm not a scholar, but where they mentioned there? They mentioned in terms of their attributes. Not only was interesting, Abu Jahl's mentioned in that surah. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Verily man is in loss. That's Abu Jahl. So notice the best and the worst. The Fir'aun of the Ummah mentioned in this surah. And the best of the best. So what were the description given to the Khilafah al-Rashidin? Look how interesting. Illa al-ladhina amanu. The one who believes is Abu Bakr. Now think about that. Doesn't that mean anybody else? They all believed. They had the greatest levels of Iman. Well, at the last, highlighting he's special. His belief is on another level. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Then how does Allah the Almighty and Glorious describe Umar radiyallahu anhu? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The one who does righteous, pure deeds. If you go through Sayyidina Umar's life, you notice that he was a very pure man. So his deeds, the Quran says, he does pure deeds. Then how does Allah the Almighty and Glorious describe Uthman? وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. The one who encourages you to the truth. You have to go through his life to understand this. He was like a veritable, dam against the fitna. He was calling people to the truth until his last breath. And he saved Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr, even towards the end of his blessed life. And how does Allah the Almighty and Glorious describe Ali? وَتَوَاصَوْ بِصَبْرٍ. The one who encourages, pushes you to patience. And you will understand and appreciate this more when you go through his khilafat. He was like a rock of fortitude. So Allah Ta'ala is praising them. And he's praising them in surahs, which we all know. And who's given this commentary? Rasulullah. Look how strange. Rasulullah himself was given the commentary of this surah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's mentioned in the various books of tafsir. Now what's interesting, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, he asked about this surah. Now what's interesting about that? Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu was Sayyid al-Qur'an. He was the chief reciter of the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Ubay, Allah the Almighty and Glorious has commanded me to recite to you Surah Bayyinah. This is in Sahih Muslim. So he goes, Ya Rasulullah, have I been mentioned by Rabbul Alameen? And the Prophet said, not just you, your father. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious said to the Prophet, tell, recite Surah Bayyinah to Ubay, the son of Ka'b. And Ubay wept. The hadith says, now why did he weep? Out of joy. He goes, my Lord has mentioned. So now this same Sahaba is asking about this surah. Meaning he had something in his, he could tell there's some secret in this surah. Because if you look at the translation, without any commentary, this is what it says. By time, man is in loss, except those who believe and do righteous deeds and push one another to truth and push one another to patience. So if you just look at the translation, you're thinking, oh, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala is, telling you to do certain good deeds. Is it? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or is he describing somebody? So, no, the Quran is like this. Now, what's interesting about this surah, without sidetracking too much, Imam Shafi'i, he very famously said, rahmatullah alayh, if the people were to truly ponder on this surah, it would be sufficient for them. If the people were to truly ponder on this surah, Surah 103, Surah Asr, it would be sufficient for them. This is in Tabarani, in his Awsat, Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, and many others. And look at the wisdom of Imam Shafi. He goes, this surah is sufficient for you if you ponder over it. So did he not know? Allah Ta'ala is talking about the Khilaf al-Rashidin. Of course he did. So when he made that statement, he was saying, you've got to understand this surah is very precious. It's sufficient for your guidance. Meaning, you got the Khilaf al-Rashidin Allah Ta'ala is describing in this surah. It's enough for your guidance. It is also highly significant that Abdullah ibn Hisn Abi Madina rahmatullah alayhi, he said, whenever two men from amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to meet, they would not part company until one of them had recited Surah Al-Asr in its entirety to the other, and one of them had given the greetings of peace to the other. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Tabarani in his Awsat number 5097, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Qurtubi and Ibn al-Kathir in their respective tafsirs. So think about this. The Tabi'een said, Rahimahumullah, that whenever two companions would meet each other, they would never leave each other's presence until they had recited Wal-Asr completely. So think about that. How many times did Abu Bakr meet Umar? Radiallahu anhu. When they parted, he would say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Wal-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat, wa rawasu bil haqq, wa rawasu bil sabr. And then Paul, why would the Sahaba recite this surah to each other before they left? So, meaning, this is for guidance, don't forget. And what's interesting is when the Khalafa Rashidin recited it to each other, they were actually talking about themselves. You know, imagine Abu Bakr recited to Umar. Umar recites to Ali. Ali recites to Uthman, etc., etc. Radiallahu ta'ala. Hence, it would be safe to say, if one studies, loves, emulates the lives of any of these four majestic men, he will ultimately be successful. What did Imam Shafi say? If people pondered on this surah, it is sufficient for them. What did he mean by that? Why would the Sahaba recite this surah when they would leave each other's company? Why would the scholars, whenever they finished a talk, they would recite this surah? Why do you think I finish with this surah? Just to impress you, but I know the surahs of the Quran. There's a reason for it. The reason is, this is sufficient for you. Reflect upon what's being said here. So the scholars say, if you study, love, emulate who? The Khilafah Rashidin. You're successful. Allah Ta'ala is telling you that. Whilst those who, God forbid, have any hatred for them, may as well join the ranks of the Firaun of this Ummat, Abu Jahl, who's mentioned in this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned Abu Jahl in this surah. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Man is in loss. Except, who's that man in loss? Abu Jahl. Why is he mentioned in this surah? Because Allah Ta'ala is telling you, don't find fault with these. Otherwise, join your mate, you know, the Firaun, who led his people to, you know, glory, as they say. Note also how the Almighty and Glorious pinpoints a particular excellence of these four exalted souls, radiyallahu ta'ala, which undoubtedly they manifested just like the very standard of Islam itself. Subhanallah. You can only appreciate Allah Ta'ala's description when you go through their lives. If you go to Abu Bakr Siddiq Seed and somebody goes to you, was he a believer? Like, you're being serious, right? You know what I'm saying? The believer, 100%. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا. You go to Umar Sirat, radiyallahu, because do you think he did pure deeds? He's like, the Prophet said, if there's a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar. So that's ticked. Uthman, you go through his Sirat. Was he calling you to the truth? Did he budge from the truth? وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ. You go to Ali's life, radiyallahu. He goes, was he calling you, pushing you to patience? Allah Ta'ala has already described them before they even go through their own khilafats. Allah Ta'ala has revealed this entire surah. So when you're reading that surah, now think about that. That surah will never be the same for you now. This is what happens. Well, asr, you're daydreaming. Well, asr, in the sun, in the amlu. Now when you're reading, you're thinking, Allahu Akbar, what is this surah? So now, another thing about this surah. This surah, despite its brevity, it really affected the people. There was a companion called Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu. He was the fox of the Arabs. He wasn't a Muslim. He embraced Islam after the Prophet had migrated. So he's not a Muslim. But he himself said that he met Musaylimah the liar. Musaylimah called himself a Prophet al-Qadhab, you know, the big liar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So Musaylimah asked Amr, has anything been revealed to your man? So this shows his mindset. His mindset was, you know, like camp syndrome. Quraysh, I'm Banu Hanifa. Anything been revealed to your man from the Quraysh? Now think about this. Amr, you would expect him to say this. I'm not a Muslim. Well, my interest in was revealed to him. Look what he says to Musaylimah. He's a very short and beautiful surah that has been revealed to him. So the scholars say, that sounds like a Muslim. Meaning, this surah would affect, and he goes, what surah? Musaylimah goes, what's that then? So Amr radiyallahu anhu said, this is what's been revealed to him. And he recited this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haqq, wa tawasaw bil-sabr. So when he recited this surah, Musaylimah was shocked because he knew Arabic. And then he said, oh, something being revealed to me as well. So Amr radiyallahu, he goes, I'd like to hear it. So what did he say? I didn't learn his bakwas, right? But I learned the first two lines. Because ya wabr, ya wabr. Right? Now why did he say that? Wabr is like an animal with big ears, like a mouse. And because he's trying to compete with wal asr. Because it ends with the, wal asr. So he goes, ya wabr. So Ahmad listened to him. And look what Ahmad said to him. Don't forget, he's not a Muslim. He goes, you know that I know that you're a liar. Look at that for an insult. Because you know that I know that you're a liar. And what's shocking, Musayyad Ahmad doesn't know anything. So Amr radiallahu anh later embraced Islam when he mentioned this. And the scholars point out this was the impact of the Quran. Because they were the first ones to hear the Quran. And even though he wasn't a Muslim, he goes, look how he described this surah. Such a beautiful surah. Short, beautiful surah. So again, the Quran, you know, it is beyond comprehension. So now, moving on. The four exalted successes of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their status over the other companions is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. To mention a few reports. Al-Rafi, Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 441 of the New English Translation. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من فضل على أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي. If anyone gives preference to others over Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه, then فقد رد ما قلته وقذب ما هم أهله. He has rejected what I have said and indeed belies their rank on which they are, i.e. in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned the Muslims. If anyone gives preference to others, over who? He mentioned the four. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Notice again, never changes the order. Then he said, فَقَدَ رَدَّ. Very harsh words in Arabic. He has rejected what I have said. مَا قُلْتُهُ. And he belies the rank on which they are. So if somebody says to you, for instance, I think Zubair radiallahu was greater than Uthman. So on the face of it, you're thinking, well, that's just a preference in him, brother. The preference. Nothing big. So the response to that is, فَقَدْ رَدَّ مَا قُلْتُهُ. You have rejected what I have said. And you have belied the rank Allah Ta'ala has given them. Meaning, you must not have doubts about this. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. Radiallahu ta'ala. If you doubt this, the Prophet goes, you've rejected what I've said. What does that mean? Let your work here. If you reject, imagine the Prophet says, if I reject it, what does that mean? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In addition, on another occasion, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of all the people of the entire world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen my companions. And of all my companions, He has particularly chosen four for me. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Radiallahu ta'ala. This is recorded in Bazaar. It's Hassan, Jam' al-Fawaid, Ma'rif al-Quran, volume 8, page 111 of the English translation. So two things the Prophet mentioned here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My companions are chosen by Allah Ta'ala. They're above everybody after the prophets and messengers. They've been handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing he said. Then he said, and out of those handpicked, he's picked four. Think about that. So these are the, like you say, the best of the best. In the creme de la creme, you know, French and other languages. The Prophet himself is saying this. He goes, out of the hand-picked ones, he's picked four. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Note again, he's never changing the order. So you don't make any mistakes. Abu Bakr, and what's interesting, we're looking back. So you know, when you hear these reports, you go, mashallah, subhanAllah. Miracle. The Prophet was actually telling them, whether you understand it or not, these are my successes. Yes, you'll go through the due process. Yes, eventually you'll come down to Abu Bakr. Yes, eventually you'll come down to Umar. Yes, you'll come down to... But really, Allah Ta'ala's denied. Similarly, in another report, now this is such a comforting report for us, in Tabarani, in his Awsat Ibn Asakir, Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 441 of the New English Translation, Anas radiyallahu, he warned that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يجتمع حب هؤلاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي في قلب منافق. Subhanallah. The love of these four, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, can never be combined together in the heart of a munafiq. Subhanallah. Look how comforting that is. The Prophet ﷺ was telling, you can't be munafiq. Somebody goes, brother, tell me what it is. I need to get that quality. I think I'm munafiq. It's good to think that, you know, this hadith mentioned it. But one thing the Prophet ﷺ said, if you've got this in your heart, you can't be munafiq. So a person goes, what is it, brother? It's got to be something really difficult. But do you love Abu Bakr? 100%. Do you love Umar? Brother, you love Uthman? 100%. Ali, put it there, brother. You're not munafiq. Who told you that? Rasulullah. Think about that. You might be weak in your amal, but if you've got love of these four, you can't be munafiq. Now look how interesting that is. Ahlul Sunnah, we're laughing. All the other sects in Islam, think about it. You name them. Somebody goes, Rawafid. You love Abu Bakr, munafiq. Thank you very much. Right? You go to the Khawarij. You love Abu Bakr, 100%. You love Umar, yes. You love Uthman, he's kafir. Thank you very much. You go to Mu'tazila. You know, logic. Is it greater than the narrations of the Khilafah Rashidin? Yes. Thank you very much. Right? Look how beautiful it is. In one statement, Rasulullah said, you can't be munafiq. Now think about that. There's a secret here. Why is Allah the Almighty and Glorious protecting you from the most vilest of spiritual ills? Think about it. The worst illness you can have physically, you could argue, could be cancer, could be whatever. The worst spiritual ailment you can have is hypocrisy. Allah Ta'ala is protecting you from that. Because He loves something. Well, who does He love? He loves these four. If you've got the love of those four in your heart, the Prophet goes, you're not a munafiq. So look how comforting that is. You think, brother, I'm weak in my deeds. You could be weak in your deeds. But if you love those four, Allah Ta'ala will protect you from hypocrisy. So note again, what's the order? I keep trying to stress this. He never changes the order. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Can never. And now this is the sadness. Some people, due to ignorance, they do start having problems with the Khilafah Rashidin. And on the face of it, you're thinking, you know, for example, this goes, Ali, if he was the third Khalif, he might have been a bit better than Uthman. And then you go, why did you say that? You know, I love Uthman, but Ali, you know, is stronger than. Brother, you better stop that, right? And then he goes, why? What's wrong with it, brother? I still love them. And he goes, yeah, if you love them, then why are you finding fault with one of them? Right? And this is the slippery slope. Shaitan gets his foot in. Once you've got that in your heart, next thing you'll start working on something else. And all of a sudden, you're rearranging what the Prophet says. So the response to that brother or sister is simply this. Show me one hadith where the Prophet mentioned Ali third. Show me one. So he might go scrambling, right, looking for it. Comes back, can't find any. And you think he's third. Right? Think about that. Rasulullah never changed the order. He's telling you something there. That Allah alayhi sallam. So we don't change the order. We say, Allahu Akbar. These are the way that Allah ta'ala wants them to be. Radiyallahu ta'ala. And one last report. Imam Qurtubi in his Tadkhira, page 155 of the English translation, Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah stated, though we have mentioned it, it does not have a sahih isnad because of the weakness of some narrators. So what's interesting? Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a very famous work called Al-Bidayah. And he promised he would only mention authentic reports. But he does mention weak hadith by way of reference. Here he said something even more interesting. He goes, this doesn't have a sahih chain because of some weakness of the narrators. That's all he said. So why is he mentioning a weak report in Al-Bidayah? Because he's convinced it's true. Despite the fact there's weakness. So what's the hadith? Anas radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messengers reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my reservoir on the day of judgment consists of four corners. It's square. That's interesting. You know, people say, brother, you know the hood. And they do this with the... So I'll do this with the hands. And then you go, oh, yes, yes. What shape is it? Round? No, it isn't. Fooled me. Right? It's got four corners. I've never seen a circle with four corners. Right? My reservoir consists of four corners. One corner is with Abu Bakr. One corner is with Umar. One corner is with Uthman. And the last with Ali. Stop again. Hang on. What's the order? Oh, yeah. I've got it. Right? Right. Then what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He who loved Abu Bakr radiallahu, but disliked Umar radiallahu, he would not be given water by Abu Bakr. Stop in the report. So you go to the corner of Abu Bakr is giving the water, the blessed water on the day of judgment. And you love him. You go, Ya Siddiqui Akbar, Allahu Akbar, please give me some water. He goes, get lost. And he goes, Astaghfirullah, Siddiqui Akbar telling me to get lost. Why? The Prophet goes, because you had a problem with Umar. Even Abu Bakr Siddiq will go, sorry, go away. Then the Prophet said, he who loved Umar, but disliked Abu Bakr, would then not be watered by Umar. So imagine you go, okay, let's try the other corner. You go to Umar, yo, Faruqi Azam, oh, the one who will be a prophet after the Prophet. Please give me some water from your blessing. Get out of here. Probably club here as well. Why? Because you got a problem with Abu Bakr. Then the Prophet said, he who loved Uthman and disliked Ali radiallahu, would not be watered by Uthman. Now think about it. The one who even the angels are shy of. You know, imagine how bashful he is radiallahu. Even he with his bashfulness, he'll say, sorry. Ya Dhul Nureen, or the possessor of two lights, why are you turning me away? You got something in your heart against Ali. On your way. Then the hadith says, he who loved Ali and disliked Uthman would not be watered by Ali. So what's happening? You're going around in circles. Nobody's giving you anything. What's the only way to get out of this mousetrap? Love them all, then they'll start giving you. So this is why Ibn Kathir mentioned it. He goes, it's a sound text, because everything that we know from the authentic text signifies that this is a sound text. So imagine Bachari on Day of Judgment loving Ali. Ali, Ali, Mola, Mola, next, yeah, there'll be fruitcakes. And the other thing which isn't, where's the Prophet that allowed it? This shows that the Khilafah Rashidin are honored. They're also watering the Ummatis of the Prophet that allowed it. A fitting recompense for the most abominable crime. Indeed, how could one have hated for such hallowed souls? When you have the following Sahih Hadith. In Ibn Asakir, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 4311. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my successor will be in paradise. His successor will be in paradise. And the third and the fourth successors will also be in paradise. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. Sahih Hadith. He didn't mention names though. So the Lord is. He mentioned four successors. But the wording is interesting. The way he did it, he could have said, four of my successors will enter paradise. The first four successors will enter. He didn't say that. So the Lord is. The wording is, my successor will be in paradise. He isolated Abu Bakr. Then he said, his successor. Showing the status of Abu Bakr. Because the Prophet goes, my successor is Abu Bakr. But then he said about Umar, his successor, Abu Bakr's, meaning is a rank, a huge drop in rank now. His successor is in paradise. Then he put Uthman and Ali together. And the third and fourth successors will be in paradise. But notice he didn't say Umar's successor. The wording is very, very precise, very easily missed. So let's go through it again. What did the Prophet say? My successor is in paradise, Abu Bakr Siddiq. So the Prophet linked him to himself. Then he said about Umar, his successor. So who is he linked Umar to? Abu Bakr. His successor is in paradise. Uthman and Ali, he didn't link to Umar. And the third and fourth successors will be in paradise. So look at the beauty of the prophetic speech. He's giving you the answers, but you can miss very subtle points. So So this shows again the status of these illustrious souls. He didn't say a fifth successor. He didn't say a sixth successor. Though they were Sahaba, these were the elite ones, i.e. the ones who were chosen by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was again narrations where the Khilafah al-Rashideen are mentioned in order. Never once it changes. And each and every report is full of so much wisdom. And this is leaving aside the glorious Surah Al-Asr, which is all about the Khilafah al-Rashideen. Allahu Akbar. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان صلى في خص الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا السلام عليكم ورحمه الله